gospel lesson today is from Luke 24, verses 13 to 48. Friends, hear this word of the Lord for you today. Now on that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. While they were talking, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And Jesus said, "What are you talking about?" They stood still, looking sad. Cleopas said, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place there?" He said, "What things?" They said, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, a prophet mighty in deed and word, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hoped he was the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it's now the third day since these things took place, and some women in our group were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us of a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as they said, but did not see him. And Jesus said, 'How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe all the prophets. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and enter into glory?' And then, beginning with Moses and the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near to the village where they were going, he walked ahead as if he were going on, but they said, 'Stay with us, it's almost evening.' So he went in, and when he was at table with them, he took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened and they recognized him. But that's when he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, 'Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road and opening the scriptures?' That same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and their companions saying, 'The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon.' Then they told what had happened on the road and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of bread. While they were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said, 'Peace be with you.' They were terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. He said, 'Why are you frightened? Why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look. Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones.' And when he said this, he showed his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. So he said to them, 'Have you anything here to eat?' They gave him a piece of fish. He took it and ate it in their presence. And then he said to them, 'These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled.' And then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. And he said, 'Thus it is written, the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and the forgiveness of sins to be proclaimed in all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things.'" Friends, this is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, open our hearts and minds to your presence in this place. This we pray in Christ's name. Amen. So imagine having to convince someone that you are alive when they assume you are dead. That's exactly the situation of one Vietnam vet, Charles Hubbard of Austin, Texas, when he received a letter from the VA informing his family that they needed to return thousands of dollars of benefits because he was dead. Talk about your worst nightmare, right? A victim of stolen identity. He soon discovered that even his checking account had been closed. And after dozens of phone calls, he was informed by the VA that it would take about 8 months to have him declared officially alive again and get his benefits back. Well, Jesus isn't making phone calls to the VA, but he's trying to convince some very weary, grieving, scared disciples that he is flesh and blood alive. What does it take to convince these weary followers that Jesus is alive? Well, it takes Jesus doing something that we all do to stay alive: eat. It takes food. Their hearts may have burned within them as Jesus explained the scriptures on the road to Emmaus, but their eyes were really opened when he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them, just as he had done during that Last Supper. Then when Jesus appeared to the scared followers in that room in Jerusalem, he says what close friends might say when they want to come over to their house, to our house. "Hey, you got any food in your fridge?" That's essentially what he's saying. He's looking for this real, down-to-earth, meaningful way to say, "I am alive. Watch this. Ghosts don't eat food and digest. I'm eating." Isn't it interesting that proving his resurrection involves eating and food? It goes hand in hand with him saying, "Touch me. Touch me and see. I am flesh and bones." So what does this story mean for us today? Why does it matter how Jesus proved his resurrection to these weary disciples? Well, what if it tells us how we are to break bread with one another? What if it tells us how and where we find Jesus today? Think about what usually happens around a table with friends of yours. You often really get to know people, right? When you share a meal, you can create this sense of community. It's one reason why churches have all these potluck dinners and meals together. It can even break down barriers between people, bring a sense of peace. Now, I know the opposite sometimes happens. We've all been held hostage at Thanksgiving or Christmas meals with crazy relatives, right? But think about what it means to open your home and host a meal for friends, for family, even for strangers. There's a vulnerability in that, right? You know people in a different way after you share a meal with them. I just think about all the meals that I've shared with so many of you over the years and what I got to know about you around a table. I think about the power of my Grandma Maureen's constant hospitality, her always setting out food for guests and having almost every conversation in her house around a dining room table. That's how we knew we were loved by her, that she set out food on the table. It's one thing I love about mealtime because it's this natural time to just talk and listen. Sarah could probably tell you things about the youth cafe that happened similarly. You really get to know the kids when you sit down at a table with them. And can't it be possible to really open hearts and minds when you share a meal? I mean, eating together can get people really talking, right? And maybe it's the fact that you can just shove some food in your mouth whenever there's some uncomfortable moment in the conversation. I think that food as a distraction can actually help the conversation and put people at ease. Most of us know how to say things like, "Pass the potatoes," right? When all else fails, say that, unless there are no potatoes. Food reminds us that our humanity is really about inhabiting bodies. Do you notice that every time Jesus appears, it's as a person with a body? He's not a spiritual ghost. He's not an apparition. He's not a free floating soul. That's very important to the Christian faith. Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 15, if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. And he talks about having a resurrection body, not just a soul. He says, listen, we will not all die, but we will all be changed. For this perishable body must put on imperishability, and this mortal body must put on immortality. In other words, we will not be exactly like we are here now, but we will be changed into a perfect body. We will still have a body. We're not just going to be free-floating souls. Every appearance is in bodily form. Resurrection is not just a metaphor, it's actually a physical reality for Jesus and for all of us one day. And Jesus' resurrected body, it has scars. Scars from the cross. Why is that so important? To me, it's important because we have scars too. We live in these physical bodies, broken bodies. Many of us live in chronic pain or with illness. Our bodies are broken. All of our bodies are broken in some way or another. And we need a Savior who has wounds in his resurrected body. I believe we need a Savior who can bring healing to those broken bodies, not just salvation, just spiritually or intellectually. The Greeks often separated the physical world from the spiritual world and thought that the spiritual world was much more important than the physical. They thought that life after death was more of a soul being released from the body, but that is not what we see in Jesus. The resurrected Jesus has a new body. He's very much alive with flesh and bones and scars, and that's hopeful, if you ask me. The resurrection of Jesus reminds us that we are both physical and spiritual beings, and we need to pay attention to both. When the Bible says that Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us, it means in the flesh, physically and spiritually. I think this is why there's been so many interpretations over the years about how Jesus is present in the Lord's Supper. It's hard to understand the physical and the spiritual. Catholics assert that the body and blood of Christ is actually present in the wine and the bread. Those elements are changed into the body and blood of Christ. Lutherans believe that the actual presence of Christ is in and with and under those elements. As Presbyterians, we don't believe that the elements themselves are changed, but we believe that Jesus is there in that meal. We are united with his presence as we come to that meal. And ultimately, it's a mystery. It's a mystery how Jesus is in that communion, but we believe he is in it. And it is both our physical and our spiritual food and drink. I think it's so powerful that Jesus appears to his followers and convinces them he is alive by showing scars and asking for something to eat. He leads them to understanding by being vulnerable, something we usually want to avoid. But what if we followed in his footsteps and led other people by being vulnerable ourselves? What if we showed one another our scars? What if we welcomed each other around our tables? It's so simple, but so powerful. Both things show we are humans. We all need peace and healing. We all need food. It's why sharing communion in this church is so moving and meaningful to me, especially when we do it through intinction like we'll do it today. It's so simple. It's a little bit messy. The crumbs get all over the floor, and it's beautiful. Because we're invited by this living, scarred Savior to join in a meal of his body and blood, and we bring our living, scarred selves to partake. And that simple meal can bring us peace and healing if we open our lives to it. As I was telling the kids, we start our worship service with the passing of Christ's peace, reminding us that Jesus removes fear. And then we come to this table where peace becomes bread and wine broken and poured out for us. And just like the friends traveling on the road to Emmaus, our eyes are opened when we come to that table. I love what I read this week from a pastor, Debbie Thomas, in her blog called Journey with Jesus. She said, "What if pushing past fear of the stranger, fear of inadequate culinary skills, fear of messy kitchens, fear of wasting time or money, fear of rejection or failure is the best way to reveal Jesus to the world?" What if practicing hospitality is practicing resurrection? And what if more is at stake than just a piece of fish or a cup of tea or a piece of bread than we have yet imagined? She says, when the disciples fed Jesus, he fed them. When they chose generosity over fear, their eyes were opened and death fled the room, and the resurrected Jesus came alive. Belief didn't come first, food did. Scarred and hungry, that is our God. That is resurrection, and that is the Word made flesh. Scarred and hungry, just like us. Friends, hear the good news of the gospel today. We can find Jesus right here today in our midst if we have the hearts to see him. May we open ourselves to one another just as he did to us, and may we break bread together at this Lord's table and at our own tables and welcome his presence. Amen. Friends, please stand and let us affirm our faith using the Apostles' Creed on page 30.